I also forgot to mention something to you guys sometime just before we started recording as well. Did you know we are now officially on season 4 of the Micro Machines podcast?
There's seasons.
I do now.
Yeah. Well, last year was season 3 because that was our third year. This is our fourth year doing Micro Machines podcast. So this is season 4, believe it or not.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
So far, 4 years, we are up to episode, I want to say 77, 78 so far, so that's not too bad, considering we've had a bit of a slow start this year, but, you know, I'm sure all the listeners will know that, you know, we've just kind of had a lot of shit going on this year, all individually, and it's been a bit of a rough start, but we are now back and in the swing of things. I guess it's all the first thing I should say is welcome to the Micro Machines podcast. This week, we will be going through the World War One group build submissions. We had last year and part of this year, we had a group build for the First World War. And of course, as mentioned, you know, we haven't been too active in the recording scene, so we'll let a few things slide. But we are back, and this is the very first thing to get sorted out because, of course, it finished last month.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Big apologies for it all, but don't worry, we are back. But before we go into all the submissions and the overall winner, I guess we should do some introductions because it's probably been long enough. You've probably forgotten who we are. So you have me, Callum, coming from New Zealand. And no drinks today because I need to stay sober until I go do my grocery shopping later because I have done grocery shopping after a few drinks and it's not a good idea. You buy a lot of stuff that you don't really need, but when you've had a couple of drinks, think's a good idea, you know. It's along the same lines of don't go to the supermarket when you're hungry. You know, you're just like, oh, I want that. And I've just spent $300. But that's me.
Well, you got me, Garrison, out in Kansas, drinking a White Monster and working on a T-64.
Very nice.
And then you got me, Clint, in Indiana, and I actually have a Pepsi with me today.
Shocker. Go figure.
Right. Hey.
Gotta start out strong.
Okay, so to get into the swing of things for season 4 of the Micro Machines podcast, we have the World War One group build submissions. Unfortunately, this group build is a bit lighter on the submissions, but that's okay. I know that I failed my one. Just kind of put it out there. I was trying to build a resin kit of a Farman MF-11 Shorthorn. This 1914 pusher prop, twin seat, twin boom, really cool looking thing. But no, I had the cockpit and everything built up, and I was trying to paint the wings, and you know, it's just too many things go wrong, and you just go screw this in the box. So it's currently all put away back in the box, and I'll probably throw it out because I've got a couple of other like things I've started and I have absolutely no interest in doing. Like an F100D that has more putty than plastic sort of thing, you know.
Oof.
Yeah. So unfortunately I didn't do it for this group build, but I guess we should go into all these submissions. So first off, we have from Paul Gallagher an Airfix 172 Bristol F2 fighter. This is from the Airfix Dogfight Doubles Vintage, I think it is, where they have an F2 fighter and a Fokker triplane, I believe, in a dogfight double, which I think someone's pointed out you can't. That's not really a realistic dogfight double because those two aircraft were like totally different times in the war. So the chances of them actually meeting were pretty slim. So, but I guess they're just trying to, you know, get existing kits together. But Paul has done his Bristol F2 fighter in his classic cool way of mounting it with a painting. Does he do the painting, the backgrounds of paint by hand? Like, does he do them himself?
No, that's not a good question.
We need to ask Paul. Do you do these paintings yourself? Because if you do, man, Jesus Christ, you are talented.
Very
agreed.
But so Paul's got this. He does a nice. He's got a painting in the background, and it's mounted to the wall, which is like a really good idea, to be honest, when it comes to space.
Oh yeah.
Like yeah.
Just must be a bitch to dust them all.
I would say, yeah. I mean, they're attached to a fairly sturdy-looking wire, I guess. But yeah, trying to dust models would be a pain in the ass. But considering this is an Airfix vintage classic kit, he's done a really nice job with it.
Yes, he has.
Agreed.
Okay. Up next, we've just got this little, you know, little vignette thing done by someone. I don't know who it was. It's not the best. No, we have Clint's D-Day Miniatures 135th Belgian dog drawn cart with carabiners. Is that what it's?
Yep.
Would that carabiners. Be? Oh, is that the soldier type?
Yep.
Hence why he's got the funny looking top hat.
Yep.
What can you tell us about this?
I really don't know much about World War One, but I picked up this kit on a whim. I thought it was really cool looking, and I had to scratch build the cart. I used the wheels from the kit, but the resin cart was like so warped, it's like there was no trying to save it. And the tripod that the machine gun was supposed to sit on, it was also, some of it was broken, some of it was just not even there.
It just didn't exist.
Yeah, love so that. I just mounted it on a piece of a styrene rod and then put a tarp over it, you know, with the barrel sticking out.
What was the machine gun? It was a Hotchkiss, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was a Hotchkiss.
That's a pity to see. You can't see that in its full entirety, but
yeah.
Oh, well. But nah,
it was a little warped too.
Yeah. Pardon?
I said it was a little warped too.
Nah. But otherwise, looks really good. You did a really good job on the uniform as well, like with the shading and highlights and all of that. And I also like the cobbled street.
Thank you. That was XBS foam.
Oh, very nice. Cool. That's the kind of foam that I just cannot find in my country at all.
That sucks.
It's weird. I don't know. Up next, we have Garrison's 35th scale Meng FT-17 with, are these the Tamiya French infantry?
These are
Mini-Arts. French infantry in no man's land. Garrison, what can you tell us about this little diorama?
Well, it's supposed to be an abandoned FT-17. That the crew abandoned it, and then they supposedly went back in a later time to try and do work on the engine. That's why the engine panels are open. No man's land, so you got blast craters. The water's like a nice, fresh, green tint. Supposedly the French did a gas attack. The gas settled, and they're pushing on to the Germans. This is the last diorama I did, actually. It was a lot of fun.
I've literally only just noticed the skull in one of the craters.
Yes, yeah, that crater on the back right with the sheet metal is a makeshift defense, and it's got the a dead German with a skull and the stall helm. So, little detail I thought was nice.
Very nice.
Nice. I really like this. It's got a lot of detail to it, even though, you know, No Man's Land is just, you know, mud, but...
Yeah, there's a few things strung out, like, obviously the tracks from the FT-17 that got destroyed, and the wagon wheel on the top right, or the center right, I guess, and there's small stuff like shovels and shit strewn about, but yeah.
Nice. And you did some really nice work on the tank as well. It's a great FT-17.
Thank you.
All right. up next, we have another one from Paul Gallagher, the Airfix 172nd Fokker DR1. That is the triplane that comes with the F2 Bristol, the F2 fighter, sorry. And with this one, he has the Elan 13 miniatures Lord Flashheart. For those of you who are uncultured, Lord Flashheart is from Blackadder Goes Forth, played by Rick Mayall in one of his best performances, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Lord Flashheart is a great character. So this is what he has done. He's got a DR1 crashing into the background, and he has the bust of Lord Flashheart, which I can so appreciate because, yeah, one of my favorite characters and also one of my favorite series. Probably one of the best TV series ever is Blackadder Goes Forth.
Oh, yeah. It's like that. Out of all Blackadder, it's like Goes Forth is the best.
Yeah. Especially the last episode. It's like, how can a comedy make you like almost tearful?
Right. Ugh. I remember the first time I seen it. It's like Hugh Laurie. It's like, because I'd only ever really seen him as House and then a few other roles. And it's like, I didn't know he could do comedy so well.
Well, that's what he did originally. He was a comedian. He was a comic actor.
Yeah.
You know, all his early stuff. It was actually in his later stuff he started doing, like, drama and all of that. So, but yeah, it's like, especially that last episode where it's like small things change the characters so much. Going on a Blackadder Goes Forth tangent here, but you know, bear with. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, Captain Darling is like, you know, supposed to be like the hated character.
Mm-hmm.
And then like right at the end where he's like, you know, it's like, thought I'd live through this, you know, doing all his like play cricket and all of that, and then it just like at the end he just goes marry Doris. It's like oh well, that and then suddenly like the entire reason of his character just suddenly like opened up there, and it's like now you understand why he was what he was. He was just trying to like survive it. It's like, oh, okay, I feel bad.
Yeah.
And then just like, and then even in his diary entry, just like he just went, wrote my diary, simply put, bugger.
Bugger.
Yeah. And like apparently according to the actors, like they did that last scene of going over the top and all of that, and it was so like visceral for them, they were like, shall we do another take? And they all the actors just went, nope, nah, not doing that again, nope.
Yeah. And if I can't remember what episode it was, what number, but there was a diorama in one of the episodes.
Oh yeah, the yeah, when they're looking at, this is the amount of earth we've captured, and it's like, what scale is this? 2 foot.
One to one.
It's like 1 to 1. This is it. Oh, what was it? Yeah, it's like
look, there's a worm.
Yeah. Or it's like wanting to lose 10,000 men just for the general to move his drinks cabinet six inches closer to Berlin.
Yeah.
Or it's like our super secret plan. Would that plan involve us walking very slowly to be slaughtered by a whole bunch of machine guns? Oh, it was such a good series, that. Best series, that one.
It was. I should rewatch it.
How many times have you watched it so far?
Goes Forth has been the one I've watched the most, but the entire series probably 3 times, 4 times.
I'm probably sitting at around 5 or 6 for the whole series, and at least 8 for the fourth.
Yes. I was sad they never made a World War II one that. You know, apparently he didn't get reincarnated after the First World War.
Although, well, you say that, they are actually making a new series.
Are they?
Yes, but it's going to be focused modern times in a university.
Ah.
I'm not holding my breath on it. Yeah. You know, it's like, you ended on perfection. Although they did do that movie as well. Blackadder Back... Yeah, the Blackadder Back and Forth. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah.
With the time machine.
Yes. Yeah.
And they screw up history. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, back onto models. Small tangent. up next from MD, also known as Martin Drayden, he has his Vargas Models 1 to 35 Liberty International Mark 8 Heavy Tank. This is the rhomboid tank that was built in conjunction with Britain and the US for their own sort of heavy tank just after the First World War. A lot of people, a little fact about the Mark 8, you know the horrific abomination that is the tank from what is it? Raiders of the Last Crusade. You know, Indiana Jones. The third movie. Last Crusade. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know they have that abomination of a rhomboid tank with a turret on top. You know that. A lot of people get confused as they think that that is based on a Mark 8 Liberty. They are wrong. It's actually based on a Mark 7, lesser known variant. So little factoid there. They did not use a Mark 8 Liberty as the basis for that. It was a Mark 7. Anyway, so this is Martin's Liberty International Mark 8. Very nice looking. He's done a lot of good job with the weathering and stuff like that on it, making it look very grimy, and also really like the figure he has added onto it.
Gives a pretty good sense of scale.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite a large tank. I have, you know, humble brag here. I've actually seen a Mark 8 Liberty in Bovington. They are really cool. Up next, from Don, he scratch built a trench wall facade using, did he do 35th scale or 16th?
I think it's 16th scale.
I was going to say those rats.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So Don has scratch built a section of a trench wall facade with cold-grained iron, planks, some jars, and a couple of rats running around. So something a bit different, just no vehicles or anything like that, but just showing a typical cross-section of what trench life was like. Pretty horrific. But I really like this. He's done a really good job on this, just showing off how trench walls are built and stuff like that. So, this is really cool.
It is really nice.
Very nice.
Up next, another one from Martin Drayton, MD. He has the 8th Battalion, London Regiment, 20 September 1917. Passchendaele, as most people pronounce it, although I think in French it's Poissondale. So this diorama in 1 to 32 scale. Passchendaele or Poissondale is actually quite famous for New Zealand as well. It's one of the battles that we suffered a lot. So this is his little diorama showing four figures. We have a sergeant who has who's running on battle with a Webley and a cane. So, you know.
Sam, homie, Sam.
Hey, that's a vibe, you know. So he's on his diorama, he's got a little thing. So this scene depicts the 8th Battalion, which is the City of London Battalion, London Regiment, which is the Post Office Rifles, on 20 September 1917 at Alberta Section during Third Battle of Ypres, or as it is now, Poissondale. The sergeant depicted within the four represents Sergeant Alfred Knight, who went on that day to win the Victoria Cross for capturing a machine gun under heavy fire after the platoon lost all of their officers. Sergeants distill it best. I got to say, the British have some very interesting names for their regiments. Like the 8th City of London Battalion, London Regiment, Post Office Rifles. What the fuck?
And was they drafted from post workers?
I have no idea. They have some very weird naming ways.
Jeffrey last year was delivering mail. This year he's delivering lead.
But otherwise, he has done some really good work with the groundwork on this and on the figures as well. Really like this. I think these were 3D printed resin, or they might have been cast resin. Strangely, in 32nd scale, but you know.
Oh, yeah, it does say 32nd scale.
Yeah, it's weird they do that. Yeah. It's like, come on, people. If it's ground, it's 35th. Otherwise, though, really like the barbed wire. Really like just the basic scene, the scene that he has done here, and some good paint work.
Yeah.
Up next, from Copperhead, we have a 1 to 10 scale Lewis Gunner bust. This is, Clint, where did you get this from? What kit is this?
Young Miniatures.
Young Miniatures. And so he wanted to do a bust, and I got to say, he spent a lot of time and effort into this, and it looks absolutely incredible, you know, from the shading right down to the fact that, you know, this guy's got a black eye. Yeah, this is a really good paint. And he's also done the flesh on the face really well. Like,
agreed.
It is very nice.
Like, this guy is, like, staring into your soul. I'm not sure if you could, I would like to have him displayed in my house. He'd just be, like, freaking me out. But, yeah, no, he's done some really good work on this. Highlighting, shading, all of that. Absolutely love this.
It is excellent.
Good stuff, Copperhead.
And lastly, from Kingston, we have the ICM 35th Scale Model T RNAS Armored Car. There were going to be some figures and a base for this, but he didn't get round to completing those. But he has completed the armored car, which is basically getting a Ford Model T and up-armoring the shit out of it. And it's really cool. But,
I wonder how
yeah.
slow that thing was.
Pardon?
I wonder how slow that thing was.
You could probably outwalk it.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The human body's probably got more gas than that thing has in its tank. But I think the World War One armored cars are just such fever dreams, and they are so cool. You know, stuff like the Canadian auto car, which is just a box with two Vickers machine guns and a Lewis gun on it. You know, you got all those kind of stuff, so they all look really cool. So, and also, I really love the camouflage scheme that Kingston's done on this one.
It is, yeah, I like
it's
that too.
It's really nice. He's done a good job on this. So that is all our entrants into the World War One group build. But of course, we can only have one winner, and the winner is Copperhead. With his 1 to 10 scale Lewis Gunner bus, purely because this thing just looks absolutely amazing. I wish I could paint as good as this guy does.
Same.
So, congratulations to Copperhead. We will be in touch to sort out a prize for you. And after this, we kind of need to start looking into our next group build, don't we? If we want to keep doing them. Do we want to keep doing them?
Well, why not?
I think we should. We have a few ideas on what we can do, but I think we also might open it up to other people to start suggesting things. I know I've got one suggestion already. I wouldn't mind doing... No.
Oh.
I'm already doing a bloody buddy build on a ship. I don't. Naval fighters.
Oh.
Any country, any time period, as long as it's naval. If it takes off on an aircraft carrier or off a ship or anything like that, or is considered your naval, that's just my thing. That's, you know,
so
that's
float planes too?
Yep. Float planes count. I mean, you know, it's got something to do with the water. So that's just my suggestion. We are also open out to all the others, and we will vote on whichever ones people want to do. So that's our next order of operations.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
But apart from that, got to say congratulations to Copperhead for the win again. And that is it for the World War One group build submission. So we're going to have a quick break. Then we'll get back into the hobby news, where we have, yes, we've missed quite a lot. There's been a lot of big releases this year, but we're just going to go back only a couple of weeks or so, because otherwise we'll be here for, like, way too long. Because there have been some really cool releases, I got to say. But we do have a list of some really cool ones anyway, so we'll be back with that. A lot of whips to talk about as well, and just general things that have been going on around us. So we'll be right back. And we are back with the hobby news to find out what all the new cool things that we can look forward to this year are coming out. And first up, we have a new boxing from Special Hobby in 72nd scale. We have the Blackburn Rock Mark I. This one is a new boxing with new decals for the FAA turret fighter. We have decals for the Fleet Air Arm as well as the Finnish Air Force. Got to say, this is one that I wouldn't mind getting, because the Blackburn Rock apart from being a really, really, really shit naval fighter, like really bad, they just look cool. They look really cool. And we can see here in the box art, the two, you'll see how the one in the back has most of the fins lowered down and the one in the front, you know, it is more streamlined. The way that these turrets work is these sections of the fuselage actually depress down when it's rotating around automatically, which is kind of cool. That way it gets it out the way. So it is quite an ugly aircraft, I must say.
Oh, it's very ugly, but it is very hideous.
It is hideous to look at, but that's why I like it. So this is definitely one I want to look out for. And I've also never built a special hobby as well, which, you know, might be a good thing.
So was the cockpit open like that? There's supposed to be a sliding canopy that goes forward?
It would be a sliding canopy, but I think it's like an either or. Okay. I mean, the one in the background's got the canopy slid back. This one is missing a canopy, so it might be an earlier mark. I'm not too sure on the rock. Need to search that up a bit. But yeah, this is supposed to be, you know, same as the Bolton Pool Defiant, a turret fighter where no guns in the front, all in the back, and horribly slow and sluggish and just not, it's not a good idea. They made better night fighters though, where they could just sneak up underneath a bomber or something like that and then just, you know, 4 303s into the stomach. Up next from Border, we have a German 7.5 centimeter anti-tank gun in 35th scale, so we have a PAC 40 with Winter Artillery Crew. This one comes with a whole bunch of cool stuff, including a metal barrel for the main gun. We have three variants of the muzzle brake. We have three road wheel variants as well. Comes with ammunition and accessories, and the crew as well. So if you are into German artillery, this will definitely be one to look out for, because it looks, just looking at the CAD renders, they look really cool. So this will be released in May. Guys, any thoughts?
I'm probably going to pick this up.
Yeah, I like it.
Just for the figures alone.
Yeah. This looks really good. It'll make a really good diorama. And it looks detailed as well. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm already getting ideas.
Up next from Border as well, we have a Tiger One Initial in 72nd scale. So this is the third in their line. They've got quite a few early Tiger Ones. They have the Tiger One Early, the Tiger One Initial in a different scheme, and we have a new boxing for this. This one is a bit the first kits. So this is the first full kits in special tool arrangement in FA 1942. We'll see about this. I mean, it is just a Tiger One. You know,
we don't need any more Tiger kits on the market. Give us oddball shit.
The problem is they sell well because people like to model the losing side.
Well, Germany had so much other cool stuff besides a Tiger.
I know, and the Tiger wasn't even that good, to be honest. When it first came out, yes. But by the end of the war, it still maintained only 100 mil of frontal armor, not sloped at all. Which, you know, the 76, as long as you don't believe the movie Fury, the 76 millimeter cannon will punch right through the front of it. Transmission was bad. Maintenance was terrible. Like, to change the shit transmission, you had to take the turret off and take out most of the interior just to remove it. So if these things broke, they were like out for months. And it's just a very boring tank. Sorry, guys.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Tiger, so.
Yeah. I mean, seeing one in real life, yes. Modeling it, no.
Nah. It's like King Tiger is so much better.
Next from Trumpeter, we have new parts towards their commando. So we have the V-150 commando with the Cockerel 90mm gun and turret on top. So the commando is this weird sort of Vietnam era armored car that was mainly used for Air Force security and stuff like that. And they trialed putting a 90mm gun on top of it and a Belgian FN machine gun on top of that. And I got to say, this looks really cool. This will definitely interest a few guys in the Discord who solely build 72nd armor, such as forgetting names now.
Was.
Yes, was. That's right. Was is like our 72nd expert for armor. But Trumpeter, 72nd scale. I've got one kit in 72nd scale of theirs that looks really good, so it might be decent. Who knows? Let us know.
I will say, real quick, that gives me like 2017 Philippines vibes.
Oh. Does a little bit. I mean, I think it looks cool. It looks really cool.
Agreed.
It's interesting.
I would like a 35th version of this.
HIDF it?
Yes.
I could definitely see that.
Actually, no. If I got one of these in 35th scale, I'll do it more as... They were used in the Congo War in the 60s and 70s as well by mercenaries, so... That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, next up from Italeri, we have a Fiat CR-42CN Falco, but in the Night Fighter arrangement. This is in 72nd scale. So the modifications they did for the Night Fighter primarily were these spotlights on the wings, and I think that's about it, really. That's all they changed, and some of the camo around and all that. But yeah, something a little bit different. In the plane sphere.
Too bad it's 72nd.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, to be honest. I quite like the Falco. It's a cool biplane.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty cool.
Up next from Triumph Model, we have the HMS Glorious, which is near the British aircraft carrier from World War II. This is a conversion from, I think it was a battleship. They never completed, and they turn it into an aircraft carrier, hence why the flight deck's a bit short. It's got this weird sort of rounded thing on the front, and you know, that's why it looks a little bit weird. But I really want to get this. This is in 1/700 scale. I think the Glorious is just a really cool looking aircraft carrier.
I've never heard of this before. Austrich Hobby?
Yeah, me neither, but you never know. They might be good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, give him a chance.
Yeah, I always will. Now, this one is for Garrison. Cool. I think this will look cool. From Copper State Models, we have a Vickers Kleino Mark IV 1950-15 bike. So this is a motorbike with a Vickers machine gun mounted in the front middle for the driver to have fun with, by the looks of it, because I don't think there is a sidecar.
Take my money.
If there is a sidecar, then even better, but I don't know. I can't see... Well, there might be something in the back. Might be something just in the background there, but I haven't seen any other photos. This is the only one I've seen of this, so I'm not sure. If it is mounted in the middle, fired by the driver, amazing. If there's a guy who sits next to it, still amazing. It still looks really cool.
This is really neat. Is this 35th scale?
35th scale, yep. So, if I had the chance, I would pick this up, because the Copper State Models bike's supposed to be really cool, really nice as well to put together. Up next from Gecko Models, we have the British FV18001 Mark II. This is the 80-inch 4x4 utility vehicle. Basically, it's a Land Rover.
It's a Land Rover.
It's a Land Rover. the minute it has a military designation, it has this ultra-long thing, and it's like, it's a Landy. It's a Landy. Yeah. It's a Series 1 or Series 2 Landy. But we don't have enough decent Land Rover kits in the hobby anyway, so I would happily take this. Because, of course, for the British Army, it's the British Jeep, basically, but better.
Yeah.
I mean, the chassis of the Land Rover, you know, the Series 1, never changed from the Series 1 in the 40s and whatnot when they made them. The design of the chassis hasn't changed at all. They haven't even changed that. It was just so good. My dad had a Series 1 Land Rover as well, and he's very tearful when he had to get rid of it. But you know, he had me and my sister, so you know, we sunk all the money instead.
Be like that.
Next up from AFV Club, we have an M51A2 5-ton dump gun truck. This is for the US Army in Vietnam. We just have a 5-ton dump truck with an M60 and an M2 Browning 50 cal mounted in an up armored box in the back, as well as armor plating around the cab. Comes with the decals for Peacemaker. This thing looks really cool.
Oh yeah,
I wish my dump truck when I worked for the city was like this.
If only you had these when you're doing sweeps.
Jeez.
But yeah, especially I know at least two Vietnam group builds going on right now, so this would be something that you could look out for that. Hell, I just buy it just to make something fun out of it. But also the 8-ton dump truck is a really cool truck as well.
I just noticed Wile E. Coyote chasing the little Viet Cong. What the hell?
Oh, that is great. I love that.
That's beautiful.
Does that come as a decal as well?
I hope so.
Just on the other side. Okay, from Gecko Models again, we have a Bedford OYD truck, 3-ton, 4x2 GS, which has a wooden cargo body as part of they're bringing out a whole bunch of new British trucks. So if you're into British trucks, this will be one to look out for. Can be built with or without the rear canvas cover fitted, and it does include one driver figure as well.
Hell yeah.
Very nice. We need more trucks and stuff.
We really do. There's been a bit of a, lacking.
Especially like trucks with driver figures.
Yeah, a lot of times you get trucks and no one driving it, and And this also comes in 35th scale as well.
Nice.
Oh, from great
Magic,
heavens!
From Magic Factory, the Magic Factory, of course, have been doing all the wonderful Bradleys that we've been seeing come out. They're kind of like the Bradley Kings right now, and they're bringing out the M212128 Bradley 105mm mobile gun system. I'm sure this was just a prototype, wasn't it? This never actually went into anywhere. And I know that purely because there's a fucking M134 minigun mounted on the turret.
Yep.
Right there, right on the front.
I remember seeing a meme, like, not even a week ago about this. It was like me talking to my therapist, the Bradley 105 can't hurt you. And then it showed a picture of one. Like, it's not real, it can't hurt you.
I mean, it looks awesome, I gotta say.
Very interesting.
If they brought this out as a meme or just as an April Fool's, then, I still want it. It still looks cool.
Hell, make a dozen of them, send them to Ukraine, see what happens.
Shit, that's the best thing to do if you want to test something.
A bit like the Spanish Civil War in the 30s, where everyone was just like, hey, we've got this new tank, you want to try it out? Hey, we've got this new thing, you want to try it out? That's literally what the Russians and the Germans did during the entire Civil War, was just like, they were allies supplying enemies their tanks so they could see how well they did and just be like, okay, so you're taking this, so we need to change this. And then they're taking notes.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about the Spanish Civil War is like, who won the Spanish Civil War? It's like, oh, easy, Germany.
Mm. Yeah.
The Fatherland, of course.
But by the way, if you really enjoy the Magic Factory Bradleys that they've been bringing out, this will be one to add to the collection. It's also got a really cool camouflage and decal scheme. In 35th scale, from MiniArt, we have a German 3-ton troop carrier, the 3.6x36S Radkasten normal type truck. So this is just a standard six-wheel truck. We've got a whole bunch of infantry in the back, machine gun mounted in it. So, yeah. You guys wanted more trucks? We're getting more trucks.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably pick this one up, too.
crying. We have 5 decal options for this, photo etch. Doesn't say anything about if the figures are included. Probably not. At least hopefully you have the driver.
Mini art's usually pretty good about including the figures.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, if they included all the figures that go with this, then that would sell quite well, I think.
Maybe not all of them. Maybe just driver. There is a lot back there.
If they had the dry, well, if they did it as a separate set, then yeah, it'd be more understandable. Like if they supplied like the driver and maybe one guy and like the other guy in the seat, then yeah, might be a bit of an ask, you know, stretch asking for the others. But if they did those as like a separate kit, then that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ooh. Something a bit weird in 48 scale from Brengun, a Kokutsai Targo bomb fighter, outdated fighter. This thing, it looks like something from the 1920s. I think it was probably a trainer, but the Japs were kind of desperate.
Sure, it's not a bomber? It's got a bomb underneath it.
I think it's technically a fighter bomber type.
Okay. I don't see any guns.
Oh, there's guns on it. They're on the nose. It's probably one of those, we have nothing else, we need to use this for whatever it can be used for. It's this very weird looking boxy, low wing, monoplane, fixed undercarriage, open cockpit, very square for all the listeners. The funny thing is, it's like they've got the box art with two Corsairs in the background. Yeah. So it's like it's trying to line up a fight with a couple of Corsairs and this thing that looks straight out of the 1930.
Hell, it's like they took a brick and put rings on it.
Pretty much, and probably flies like that as well. I got to say, though, I really want it. I really want this kit because it's so cool.
It's odd.
I know, it's odd and it's just so different and it's just like, I like it for some reason.
I was just saying, we want more oddball stuff.
Well, hey, yeah, this thing is pretty fucking oddball. You got to say that. From Flyhawk in 72nd scale, the Finnish BT-42 assault gun. The weird assault guns that the Finnish built, they used the chassis. This was a very international tank assault gun, really, because you have the chassis of a BT-7, you have a turret made by the Germans, and you have a gun made by the British.
Really? That's a German turret that looks more like a Russian, like a KV-2.
I think it was built... I need to do some more research, but... There were German components in it. The chassis is Finnish, and then the gun was based on a British gun.
Huh.
Apparently, they were not that good. The turret rotation sucked. They were a bit underpowered. The gun was inaccurate. Took a long time to load, and it had basically no armor as well. So most of them got knocked out. But they look really cool. And apparently, the Flyhawk BT-7 kits are really good to put together, apart from, you know, the link and length tracks, but they're like really, really small, because they're really small tracks in real life, so 72nd scale, they're like minuscule.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but I really want to try Flyhawk 72nd armor. I've been kind of getting into 72nd armor for, you know, just for trying quick builds and stuff like that, so definitely wouldn't mind trying out this one.
Up next, oh my.
From Copper State Models, we have an Armored Tender, British and Irish Service. This is just a... it's basically just a standard lorry truck that they up-armored into this sort of armored car thing. And this one is used... This one was used by the Irish after the war, I believe, during their little uprising that got absolutely bodied, yeah. We could say. It's the... Although it's a period of the history that is yeah, that whole little damn Irish British. Pardon?
I said damn them British.
Yeah, you know, everything was going great until then the British arrived.
Damn Brits.
I do like they've got all the inscriptions written on this one as decals. So stuff like, we have no time for... I'm trying to figure out what that last word is.
No idea.
T-H-U-C-E-R?
I have no idea. It might also be it might be a Gaelic word as well.
Could be.
And
for goodness I like sakes. This.
Aim straight?
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool. Either way, another early 20th century armored car that I would love to have in the collection. 72nd scale again from IBG. We have a Panzer II Alps B with a fuel trailer. This is a limited edition. So the Panzer II Alps B is basically the Panzer I, Panzer I style suspension before the Panzer II moved on to the F model. I think it was the D. D model they changed to the leaf spring.
Possibly. Yeah.
Or was it? No, sure. It's not leaf spring. Whereas, did they change to? They didn't do torsion, did they? Because they got external suspension.
It's been so long since I built a Panzer II.
Is
the bogies?
No, the later Panzer II didn't have bogies. They had road wheels.
Okay.
But not all the way up. It still had the return rollers. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So this is showing off the B variant, which has the sort of Panzer I-esque suspension where you got the main armbar, the sort of armbar going right across the front of the road wheels. It has the fuel trailer, which we all know just how well trailers and tanks work.
Especially filled with fuel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always a good idea. And then, yeah. Or if you want to be extra special, like the British, and have the roto trailer. Oh, that thing was diabolical. I do like though on the box art they've got all these other little bits and bobs added onto the top and back of the Panzer II here, like the wooden back crate and stuff like that. So it looks weird. I really want one. It looks cool. And I think, lastly, from Kotari, the New Zealand aircraft model kit company that used to be formerly mostly Wingnut Wings, they have announced a 32nd scale, fully detailed Hawker Hurricane Mark I early. This comes with options for the either earlier or slightly earlier. Fucking flaps that sits on top of the wheels. Landing gear, flaps, whatever. You have the option of the 3- or 2-bladed wooden propeller. So, like, we're talking the earliest. Like, this is the Mark I early is literally just the prototype in service sort of thing. It's like that's how early it is. So, the very first versions that flew during the Battle of Britain had Battle of France had 2-bladed wooden propellers, not three-bladed. And this one comes with three schemes, I believe. It'll be coming with the prototype scheme, Battle of France or Phony War scheme, and early Battle of Britain scheme as well. So, as you can even see, like, it's got the very early exhaust stack where there's just one. You know, you got a Merlin in there, and the Merlins usually have like multiple exhaust pipes coming out the side. Mm-hmm. This one's just got a single tube coming out, which probably sounds horrific. but it's Qatari. You know it's going to be really good. I really want one.
Looks at the Hurricane, in my opinion, looks so much better than the Spitfire.
I think they're on par with each other. I don't think one looks better than the other, but I still really love both of them. I just really like the Hurricane, to be honest. It's just a nice aircraft.
I fuck with the Spitfire personally.
Yeah, but which variant? I mean, you know, the variant of the Spitfire changed so much, you know. Yeah, when you're saying I like the Spitfire, you got to, it's like, which one?
I'll get back to you on that.
Well, you got from the Spitfire Mark I to, I believe, the Spitfire Mark 25? 26?
Jesus God.
Yeah, they made a lot. and that's all from like start of World War II to like to the 50s. Yeah, they made a lot.
Damn. Yeah.
And that's it for the hobby news. Of course, there've been a whole lot of other things, but we haven't been around for them, so that's all good. So we're going to move on to what we have been working on, and I'm up first, and I have been very, very busy for the start of the year. First off, I have my 1/700 scale Japanese harbor diorama. Finally finished that right at the start of the year. Hell so yeah. This is showing the Shiratsuyu class and an Agano light cruiser ship with a small harbor set, 3D printed a whole bunch of 1 to 700 scale figures just to show, you know, a bit of dynamic work into the show, a bit of sense of scale and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a port supposed to look at least a bit busy. So, yeah. So these are two Tamiya kits, and the harbor set is the Aoshima harbor set. I didn't put too much work into the port just because it's, you know, sort of supposed to be in the background. Although the crane, I did do some extra rigging up of cables for the crane and hooking on the one of the Jake float planes as well. I've got the Pete. I've got my aircraft wrong way around. Or have I? Shit. I got a biplane flying above them. I got float planes below them. I can't remember the names. Jesus Christ. And then I've also added in a few extra details, like a tender pulling two cargo little dinghy things, and also the floating dock with a whole bunch of people, making it look like they're looking at a repair work on the hull sort of thing. So, yeah. Looks pretty good on the shelf. Sorry?
I'd say you did a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Agreed. Very, very nice.
Hell yeah. Next thing I did, I've had a few shelf queens that have been sitting around for way too long. And this Jeep I started 2 years ago. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I started 2 years ago. It was from an Italeri kit. I just wanted, because it came with a trailer, and I wanted the trailer to go for my, you know, the M113 that I built for the HIDF. So the Jeep kind of came along for the ride, and I built it up and then never did anything with it. So I decided, oh, screw it, wanted to do something a bit different. So I made it into a homemade mortar carrier. So I did a few modifications, chucked a mortar on the back and a radio so the guys could talk to each other. You got mortar rounds in the back, an M2 or an M1 carbine that they had the 30-round mag, you know, the extended mag on it. Was it still an M1 that they were using that?
Okay, no idea.
But it's an M1 carbine with a...
Yep. If it had the ability to shoot full automatic, it was an M2. If it was not, it was an M1.
Didn't the M2 have a heat shield on the top?
Yes, it did.
Ah, so this is an M1. This is an M1 with an extended magazine on it. So I got that. I've got extra mortar rounds tied down on the bonnet, mainly to show that the bonnet needs to be tied down with something.
Obviously, they haven't tried to move because the shells are still on the bonnet.
It doesn't move much, but and then so I've done it as a green and khaki tiger stripe pattern, which turned out a lot better than I thought it would. And I've got the HIDF flag as an identifier, aerial identifier on the front there as well, just to add a bit more color as well. So I'm actually really, really happy how this one turned out. The only thing that's missing is the steering wheel, but that's because I got a driver that I need to paint up that will go in it with it. I just need to figure out how I'm going to paint them. But apart from that, really pleased with how this one turned out, because the mortar and the radio and stuff I actually built from another kit 4 years ago now.
Oh shit!
And I've just had them lying around, so I'm like, I should really use them for something. So yeah.
Well, sounds I think like you cleared a lot of stuff off.
Yeah, I did, actually.
What always you saying, love Garrison? To see. I was saying that you put them to good use, and always love to see some good HIDF shit.
Yeah, I've also got you can't see it. I clipped apart another M1 carbine to put in. You know, you got the holster on Jeeps on the windscreen. So yeah, I put another one in there as well. So had to shave them down a bit to make them fit, of course. But yeah, otherwise, really, really pleased with how this one turned out. Next up, another shelf queen. This IGB 1 to 72nd scale CMP truck that I bought. You remember the North Africa diorama, North Africa group build?
Yeah.
And I was trying to do a diorama with a plane and then a ground crew and CMP as well, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, this is it. It's been sitting on the shelf since I built it up for that, and I never got round to doing anything else with it. So it's been just sitting on the shelf for well over a year. So that one as well, just went, I should really do something with it. So I finished painting it up and then just made it into, just mainly as practice for making a little detailed base and stuff like that. But again, I'm actually really happy on how this one turned out. It's quite dusty and stuff like that. And I think somehow the best groundworks I do are not in 35th, but they're in 72nd scale. So this one, this little bastard gave me a minor like identity crisis of like, am I a 35th scale arm, 36th scale armor guy, or am I a 72nd scale armor guy?
It'd be like, but that.
Yeah, but I think it turned out really well, I think.
Yeah.
I would agree.
So I think I might take this one along. I've got a model show to go to in Hamilton in a couple of months. So I might just tart him up a bit more and might bring that one down, see if I can get anything for it.
Do it.
Yes, I have a lot of slides. I have been very busy this year. up next, I have a diorama I'm still working on. This is based off a photo I found of an SU-152 and a Mark IV Valentine, both of which I happen to have in the stash. So I was like, screw it, I'm going to try and replicate this photo. So it's these two tanks in convoy going through a forest in Latvia in 1944 as part of the Second Baltic Front. So we've got a couple of trees that I've just got cut off because they're really tall trees. And if I tried to do the foliage on top, just you'd be looking at like, you know, 3 foot high trees sort of thing on a diorama. So just cut them off to a sensible height. So these are just wooden dowels that I've put milliput roughed over it, and then did a bit of mold work and stuff like that to incorporate some broken branches and stuff like that. So quite pleased on how the tree trunks turned out. The two tanks here, we have a Trumpeter SU-152. Really good kit, comes with a metal barrel, slide molded muzzle brake, and all the trimmings. So really, really good kit. It's the weird thing with Trumpeter, sometimes they're really shit, sometimes they're really good. This is a really good kit. Then we have the Valentine.
And how good of a kit is it?
Well, hang on, we might hear Garrison scream here. It's an ARC model kit. Yeah, Garrison knows what hell I went through on this one, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fuck that shit.
ARC models. God, they suck. They are so, not a single part on this tank actually fit at all. It was like it wasn't a fit, it was a suggestion. So
the piece could go here, could go there, you know, figure it out.
It's like, this piece is supposed to go here. It doesn't fit for there, but it's supposed to go there. God damn.
I'm surprised you didn't trash it, bro.
I almost did a few times. Like, the tracks alone. Like, I built a jig so I could get those tracks to line up. They did not want to react to the plastic, the cement. Even in the jig, I'd pop them out, and they somehow ended up fucking wiggly. And so the tracks are not straight at all. They're as straight as I could get them. The amount of sink short shots and sinkholes, the top of the mantlet here, was so bad, there was right in the middle was sunk, like 3 or 4 mil.
Jesus just Christ. Hole.
So that I had to fill that with putty and re-sculpt what I think the mantlet looks like, sort of thing. Fuck that kit. But I did manage to make something out of it. So, you know, doing highlights, and I am quite pleased on how it actually turned out. So there's that. That's what saved it. And I will say, the decals were surprisingly really good.
Well, there's silver lining, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
The faintest of lining.
Yeah. Fucking, you have to search for that one. But otherwise, it looks really good. And lastly, for my builds, so a couple of weeks ago, no, nearly a month ago now, I was a host for the Team Australia New Zealand for the Model Officers, Model for Heroes 48-hour live stream charity event where, you know, you're trying to build a 48 scale, although they've relaxed on those rules. You can build whatever, but, you know, I like to keep to it of building something in 48 scale in 48 hours. And I managed to do that with this. This is the Tamiya D-Wiltine D520 in 48 scale. I got to say, amazing kit. Like, it is in my top five for best kits I've ever built. Just went together so well, the way that it's put together. Good detail for minimal parts. So this one, I've actually based it on, because I was having a look trying to find, you know, interesting schemes, because the normal French scheme, I've already got an aircraft with that French scheme anyway, so I didn't want to, like, double up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing a bit of research, and I found these ones. So this scheme is actually a German scheme.
Really?
You know, you got the modeling and stuff. So what were the Germans captured a bunch of D520s, repainted them in German camouflage scheme. You got the modeling and stuff like that. Then when the Allies invaded France, the French recaptured those D520s. But instead of respraying the color scheme entirely, they just painted over the German insignias and put their own roundels and markings on it. So we've got a French fighter with a German camouflage scheme with French markings on them. So,
hell yeah!
Just for something a bit different. I actually managed to build this within the 48 hours as well, which I was kind of surprised about. Tried a few new things with the panel lines. So instead of doing like a standard pin wash, I was actually with oil paint, just thinning it out and then brushing it along, like in between the lines as best I could. But then if it, you know, it was also on the edges as well. And then just trying to blend it in with a brush as a sort of post shading as well. So I think I need to refine it a bit more, but I think for a first try, it turned out pretty well.
Yeah. How'd you do the exhaust streaking?
That is just with pigment powder, European Earth, because a lot of these sort of aircraft, they didn't actually have black streaking from exhausts. It was actually white, and that is from the anti-knocking agent they put in the fuel.
Oh.
Yeah. Got that tidbit from someone. It was a commenter on my Mariner video on my YouTube channel. Someone posted that, yeah, the white is from an anti-knocking agent they put in the fuel for the engine. So, yeah.
Which is probably lead.
Most definitely lead. That is definitely lead. but otherwise, extremely successful weekend. So in total, we managed to raise... in New Zealand, $37,500. In US, what did I say it was? Was it
26?
It was about 27,000 US, yeah. Which is about 18,000 British. So, like the goal was about 10,000 British, and we managed 18,000. So, you know, fucking pretty good.
Edit.
And I think each year we're just going to get more and more. Like for the Team Australia New Zealand auctions, last year we managed $500. This year we managed $2,000. So we got more. And even then, like after the event, I've got some friends who know, like the owner of Qatari, Mark, he's actually in my hobby club. Mm-hmm. So I see him once a month. So he said that he's going to pledge a kit for the new. He did a kit for the US auctions, but he's going to put a kit forward for the New Zealand Australia auctions. And I've also got confirmation from another hobby club, hobby store as well. So, yeah, next year will be even better for Team Australia New Zealand.
Oh yeah,
love to hear it.
And finally, lastly, this is my current build as well. This is for the Auckland IPMS. We're doing a Matchbox group build because the main box artist for Matchbox, Roy Huxley, died this year. So we're doing another memorial group build. So I'm building the Matchbox 176 scale SDKFZ 124 Wisp, which is a SPG based on the Panzer II chassis, with a 105mm howitzer. Got to say, for a 1973 Matchbox kit, it is really good. Like, really good, surprisingly.
Good.
Not the best photos, but I've got, you know, dust settling in corners and sand everywhere and stuff like that. Been doing some highlighting and whatnot. So now I've just got to work on the two figures and a little base for it, and I'm all good to go. But yeah, really good kit.
And there's a good comparison of the later Panzer II.
Yep, there it is. Yep. Yeah. So you can see the difference. But I'm not, is it? Is that still like a leaf spring suspension?
Yeah, there's springs in there, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not torsion bar, but I think it's leaf spring. But yeah. Very cool little vehicle as well. I think they have one in Australia. They're working on one in Australia right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Love a good SPG.
Yeah. We might have to do a MMP artillery group build part two.
Yes.
Yeah.
And lastly, in my news this year, I have started a Colts 3D profile. I've been learning how to do 3D designs, mainly because I've been bored at work. It's been a bit slow. So putting my time to good use. But also, I just wanted to learn stuff. So I currently have 8 designs on there, including 2 tank barrels, one for the SU-152, and one for the Stug, either the Stug 4 or Stug 3 cannon. So this is one variant of the muzzle brake based on the one supplied in the Dragon kit, because that one I sold that Dragon kit to a guy in the model club, and then I looked at the gun barrels, and they're 2-piece barrels, and they're really, really bad. So I used one of them as a template to make my own. And here you can see them printed off, 3D printed, thanks to Andy at my model club, because he's got like one of the latest bloody 3D printers you can get. So he's printed that off. So I'm gonna give one of those barrels to the guy I sold it to as well, just as an extra little tidbit. But you can see what it's based off. And so I've got a whole bunch of designs up there that you can buy, and yeah, just an extra way to learn and try and earn as well.
There you go.
I'm going to shut up for a bit. Garrison?
All right, so I haven't done a lot of modeling lately, but the recent, 2 weeks, I've been working on this T-64 for a Ukraine diorama. I've got 3 figures for the crew, and then I've got an infantry set that'll be, on the tank once it's finished being built. It's a trumpeter kit. The kit's fairly nice. Some of the sprues are a little wonky, but that's a trumpeter for you. And, yeah, not too much else to say. A lot of photo etch, so that's cool.
At least trumpeter photo etch isn't that bad.
Oh, no, it's actually very, very nice photo etch, so it's good stuff.
Where'd you get the figures from?
Our beloved AliExpress.
So you know what scheme, what colors and stuff you're going to do this one?
I'm probably just going to go with the standard Ukrainian dark green with some yellow and blue highlights for the barrel and some ERA bricks. Keep it simple, like a normal, just a standard, Ukrainian T-64, nothing too special about it.
Fair enough. That's looking good.
Thank you.
I always find that the T-64 and T-62, the gun barrel just looks proportionately too long for the tank. It should end at the extractor sort of thing, you know?
It's right. Very, very long, boy.
It's clearly just, compensating a bit.
And then other stuff I've been up to. Got a motorcycle a while back. I've put almost 2,000 miles on it, so That's fun. And then I'm going to the Renaissance Festival in Kansas City with some friends of mine in the fall. And we're going as 15th century knights. And I bought my shield and sword. So.
Hell yeah.
Nice. We'll have to get some photos of you all dressed up.
Oh, yes, yes. It'll be a good time. Definitely. Me and my buddy have already been sword fighting in my backyard. It's pretty great. And that sword, you guys will like this. It's a replica of one found in the River Witham, and it's got Latin inscribed on it.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
I was going to say, I hope you guys are doing your sword fights after you bought your sword.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, you know. So, you know, we did some practice fighting beforehand, you know, with our swords. But,
yeah. Well, hey, what's a bit of sword fighting among mates?
Yeah, you know, socks are on, you know, toes aren't touching. So.
Yes. I've been working on this from TACOM since November. finally got it painted, decals on, whitewashed, distressed, and now just adding some more weathering to it, and hopefully, maybe tonight, I'll start working on putting some mud on it.
Nice. At this rate, you might be finished in June?
Let's not get carried away now.
July it is.
In November. I don't know why I've been going so slow. I mean, I know I've been going so slow. I've been so much other stuff going on with life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Don't you hate it when life gets in the way?
It does. It does a lot.
It's like I just wanna build stuff and all that, and like, you know, work gets very annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah. They won't let you take models to work.
Well,
bastards.
Well, unfortunately, like at work, my desk is like it's in view of like all the clients that come in to like go to reception, but also go to the various meeting rooms, and like so I have to kind of act busy, even though I'm like watching YouTube videos. But you know, I can't fall asleep at my desk anymore.
Oh.
You know, it's not a good look when a client you've billed, who you're billing about 50K a month, sees you just, you know, carked out on your desk, not doing anything. It's not a good look, is it? You know?
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, no, that looks really cool, man.
Well, thank you.
And that is it. That is all we have for this episode. So. Yeah, sorry guys, it's been a while since we've had another recording, but, you know, life gets in the way of shit, and sometimes you just have to put a few things on hold while you get stuff sorted out. But at the end of each episode, we would like to give a special thanks to those who add a bit more onto our Patreon. These guys have been supporting us through thick and thin through the whole time, especially Paul Gallagher. That guy is like a freaking legend.
Thanks, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order of our, we give a big thanks to our Pinju supporters, Paul Gallagher, Lord Floki, Robert Judson, Brella Mostroni, Liam Barnett, and our Pinju follower, Robert Brisbane. I also must say, I got to give a big shout out as well to Liam Barnett. He's a fellow Kiwi, and he's actually doing me a solid right now. He bought himself an accurate, it's an accurate miniatures kit of the, it's a B25D, and it's in 48 scale, and he bought a whole bunch of photo etch for it, you know, brass barrels for the 50 cals and full interior and all that. And he decided he wasn't going to end up building it. So he sent me a message out of the blue saying, hey, I've got this kit. Do you want it? So
hell
the guy,
yeah.
Guy is sending me this fucking high detailed 48 scale B25. So I'm sitting there like, oh, dude, that's like fucking amazing. Like, you know, that,
hell yeah.
It's like, you're sending me that for free. So I said to him, I was like, well, because he was saying he wanted to get more practice painting figures, getting used to different paints and stuff like that. So I said, oh, I'll print you off a whole bunch of figures and busts. You know, I've got STL files for different busts of stuff like soldiers and, you know, different figures and whatnot. So I've been, all week I've been printing off a whole bunch of stuff. I've got a bunch more stuff that I'm going to print off to send to him just as a big thanks, because, you know, it's pretty cool what he's doing. So, yeah, big thanks to him, man. He's awesome. He's a cool guy. But as it comes, we have come to the end of our first episode for Season 4. So, I can't believe it, 4 years doing this so far, and people are still listening.
It is a surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, Clint had someone come up to him at a model show and say that he likes the podcast, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Bugger if we know what it is, but...
He didn't say. He said he enjoyed it, and he enjoyed our banter, so maybe that's it.
If that is it, then that's enough for me. So, as always, we have come to the end of the episode, and we would like to thank you if you have managed to listen to the full episode or watch it. We would like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for supporting us and continuing on for 4 years doing this. You guys are freaking awesome. So, up next, don't know what subjects we're going to be doing next, but we have a whole bunch of new stuff coming up. One that's going to involve a special guest who is an incredible expert in a certain genre. So that episode will be coming on soon, just keeping that a little secret whilst we get it all sorted out. But until then, we would like to say thank you for supporting us, and we will see you into the next episode. Bye for now.
Deuces.